Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Are African-American voters really leaning that heavily toward Trump? I wouldn't go 20%, but I'll tell you why I think there is a lot of that. What is it that is driving that? And Dan, the UConn Center men's basketball team that just won the national championship is caught up in a little brouhaha, dissing President Biden, apparently.
Yeah, it was a little bit candid talking about last year's trip ahead of this coming trip because, again, they're going to be visiting the White House. But this way, I had to say about last year's trip and visit with Joe Biden.
Last year, after we won a national championship, went to the White House, took a picture with Joe Biden, team picture. Joe Biden talked to us for about 3 minutes. Okay. And then right after that, he asked us for a picture again.
What did he say in that 3 minutes?
Yeah. Completely ignored Coy Charlie. Really couldn't understand what he was saying. And then he said, all right, let's grab a picture.
Do you think he knows basketball?
Not much.
Wait a minute here. Who are the morons in the media, Dan? The guy's telling you he doesn't know what he's doing, that he just asked for a picture a minute after they did the picture. And this guy, I think he knows the pick and roll. I think Joe Biden knows about the backdoor play. I don't think that was intentional, Dan, trying to cover for Biden. I just think it's the media is not playing with a full deck here. Is there any outrage over this guy saying this?
I don't expect a TikTok influencer to ask deep, hard questions about the mental ingenuity of...
Oh, that's who it was.
Yeah, of Joe Biden.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's see if Peter Ducey asked it today, though. And you know what that brings up? The sore point, Dan, of these teams refusing to go to the White House. Now, I bet you anything, if President Trump were still president, Dawn Staley's not going to the White House. And that's one of the biggest reasons I resent this woman. I resent everything about her annex, including the transgender stuff. Would Connecticut men's go? I think they would go. I'm trying to think of the other winners out there. Football. I don't know enough about their coach. I don't know if they'd go. The NFL, would they go? No, Kansas City probably wouldn't go, I guess. That's my sense. So they come up with these excuses. We don't want to cause trouble. And then they say they're not going, which causes the trouble. At least Trump's not going to be saying, hey, let's take a picture 30 seconds after they've taken a picture. All right, let's go to Robin Schaefer. Sadly, early on Thursday morning, we saw another dead whale wash up Long Beach Island area, or township, I guess it was. And immediately, we saw people jump into that and say it has nothing to do with anything. Let's go to Robin here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robin, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. Is this the first reported dead whale of the year?
This is the first one in New Jersey.
Okay.
As you pointed out, the all-too-predictable you know, narrative comes out immediately after it happens. You know, even while it's still washing ashore, they're already getting the press releases, you know, dusting off the press releases and putting them out, saying that the whale died from had nothing to do with the work of offshore wind companies and the blasting of the seabed with sonar and what have you. They say that it's due to ship strikes and entanglements with nets. But we've always contended that we need to study this a lot more because what's making the whales move, you know, right instead of left when they normally would have avoided these collisions in the past? I mean, is this interfering with their communication patterns? These are the kinds of questions we don't get answers when we ask the feds about it or the state officials. They just kind of roll their eyes, shrug, and dismiss us entirely.
Well, Robin, we had Jack Chitterelli on the other day, and I think he is the leading guy. He's a guy I hope gets a nomination of Republicans, came pretty close the last time to run for governor, and he was adamant not only where he stands, but he sees the wisdom that this issue is three-pronged, and it brings into play a lot of voters who look at this, and if they're on the fence at all, there's a real opportunity to make broader points when you see the corruption, the money, the callousness. And I would add these phony experts, you know, this so-called expert science stuff. We talked to Rand Paul a lot about that last night, how they're often wrong and or they're getting greased by various entities. And that appears to be the case in this one.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up Rand Paul because he was out in front of the issue when COVID was all the rage. And remember when everybody died of COVID, you know, if someone came into the hospital after a bad motorcycle wreck,
yes,
and they died, but they tested the patient and they tested positive for COVID, it went in as a COVID death. And he was pointing that out well before anybody else. And, you know, we're fortunate and blessed in southern New Jersey to have a great congressman, Jeff Andrew, who's working alongside his counterpart, Chris Smith, on these issues. And they've been right at the forefront saying that this is a money grab. The so-called scientists have been are receiving money from the offshore wind companies, which are also big oil companies. We're talking about Shell and Total Energy, which is a French oil company. Also, British Petroleum and Ørsted, which used to be Danish oil and natural gas. And these companies are throwing huge money at people, including, you know, there are even some watermen and fishermen that have received money for their testimony. So it's all a quid pro quo. You know, people are getting their back scratched, and then they go out and then they testify publicly, but they don't reveal the fact that they are in bed with these companies. So it is a multi-pronged situation. Like Jack was pointing out, I think he's, I appreciate his stance on these issues. He understands that the economics don't work. The average New Jersey ratepayer is going to see their rates continue to rise, and it's going to be an enormous financial burden to the average New Jersey family. And beyond New Jersey, I mean, this is sure. This is all up and down the East Coast. So all these states that are going for net zero, you know, these ambitious goals to reduce their carbon footprint are doing it on the backs of, in many cases, the poorest of the poor and the lower middle class, the blue collar, the working class of our you know, of your listening audience and throughout the Northeast. And it's not going to do anything to deal with, you know, the issue of climate change either. So it's just a, you know, it's a massive green scheme.
Yeah,
is what
exactly
I would call it.
Well, Robin, we know there's a lot of action. Of course, listeners' attention and all of us, it turns to the Jersey Shore again. So we're ramping up, and I'm sure this summer there will be a lot more of this. And we certainly, you have your front row seat at the summer White House there. So we'll be talking a lot about this. Where do people go to stay in touch, maybe to join up? Because they still passionately care about this. And every time a whale washes up like this, and you see the spectacle of these cranes coming in and all, doesn't that reinforce something in the minds of people? I think you've reached them. You've broken through. And I think, you know, the wind is at our back in this. So how do people help out? Where do they go?
They can visit us on our website at protectourcoastnj.com. That's protectourcoastnj.com. They can also go to our, you know, Facebook, find us on Facebook. We're also on Twitter at NJ Coast underscore protect. We are locked in. We're in this fight. We've got we're going to have a lot of activities and a lot of events coming up, and I can't thank you guys enough for all of your support and your listener support. Y'all realize what's at stake here, and to tell you the truth, I really wish the Department of Public Works, when they had that whale in the back of that that dump truck yesterday at the beach. It was so sad, you know, but I wish they'd just driven all the way to Trenton and dropped it on Phil Murphy's front lawn. I mean, that would have been the right place for it, because we've been seeing these whales dying for years as a result of what's going on. And, the political class, the elites, they don't see it. You know, it's down the shore. They don't care about what's going on down here. So I'm glad you do. I really do.
Well, Robin, thank you. Your friendship is a bond with us. And, again, great work. We'll catch up very soon.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Robin Schaefer. All right. This is just breaking, Dan. And maybe you can find – I mean, I know it might take us a couple minutes to get the amendments. But the House has voted to renew FISA. Now, talk radio listeners know exactly the FISA court, what we're talking about, and the controversy. But with several amendments and a shorter period of time, a much shorter period of time than it had been. Now, this fight extended, and people have been very concerned about Mike Johnson. All right, here's what this is cut nine, Dan. Here's what Speaker Mike Johnson said, why he flipped and went to the side of renewing this, even without having to get a warrant. That's a key thing. If American citizens are involved, they've just voted, a lot of Republicans, a lot of Democrats, I think it was in the 274 or so, to renew FISA. This doesn't sound so good for Mike Johnson to me. I realize he's in a tough spot. Here's what he said about, he used to be in the camp of saying no FISA without warrants. Here's what he said.
When I was a member of the judiciary, I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses. And then when I became speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential briefing from sort of the other perspective on that to understand the necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it is for national security. And it gave me a different perspective. So I encourage all the members to go to the classified briefing and hear all that and see it so they can evaluate the situation for themselves. And I think some opinions have changed both ways, but that's part of the process. You got to be fully informed.
Have you been? Excuse me.
All right. So Mike Johnson giving that as they raise an extra why he has flipped on this. Now, again, this has a lot of meaning. Rand Paul on the other side of it. I didn't get into it fully last night with him backstage, though, talking with him. He believes it has to be a warrant that is involved here. They claim if you do that, that is going to make their life much more difficult to sniff this stuff out. In fact, we played you some of the other day saying Hamas would be able to attack us. And the response was, well, then why don't we close down the border? I'm looking at this story of an Afghan guy who's apparently a part of a terrorist group that is now in custody that had gotten through the border. On and on it goes. You can't have it both ways. President Trump was on the side of not reauthorizing this. So there are certain amendments they claim protections to be put in. And two, it's for a shorter period of time.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dom time. A lot of breaking developments here. By the way, a lot of people, the New York Times had to change the OJ obit. And the LA Times really had to change it. At one point during the obituary, it read like this. The LA Times obit of Simpson. Long before the city woke up on a fall morning in 2017, Trump walked out of Lovelock Correctional Center outside Reno, a free man for the first time in 9 years. All right. They said it was a mistake. I don't doubt it. Was somebody getting a little crazy there with Trump? Was it a prank? And you know what the whole deal is with the trial that begins on Monday. And we'll try to have Andy McCarthy, Greg Jarrett, throughout the beginning of the week. They have a big blue city jury. They may, you know, want to just convict Trump. And what they want to get out of this, even though it is a ridiculous matter that we've already litigated about Stormy Daniels, is convicted felon Donald Trump. There is something brewing here. I don't think Trump will do it. But there was talk that through various legal maneuverings, they could try to maneuver toward a misdemeanor, which, even if convicted, that's, as I read this, what it is. It's certainly not a felony. And then we're going to see all these arguments of all this polling that if Trump is convicted of something, but let's say it's a misdemeanor rather than a felony. Is that going to change public opinion of independents and others that are leaning toward Trump at this point? So be watching for that. I don't expect this is going to be an excessively long trial. Maybe a couple weeks. You know, people like to grandstand. Maybe it extends to 3. And as I understand it, he has to be there for it. But can you imagine the LA Times putting his name in, and it was a big mistake? Trump walked out of Lovelock Correctional Center when it was OJ.
Wishful thinking.
Yes. I mean, that's what they're going with. What they want to hear in the next couple weeks, it'll be an early summer present, convicted felon Donald Trump, instead of former president, or as I would say, president, they will lead New York Times coverage. Convicted felon Donald Trump today shot an 85 at golf. Yeah. Could be 50 years from now. I forgot that O.J. served 9 years, though. I thought it was a year or two for getting his sports memorabilia back, okay? And, of course, the existential question, a number of people that said definitively O.J.'s in hell, that's been going on, too. All right, 855-839-1210. Let's go to Tony in Delco. Tony's next on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Tony.
So, first I got to say this. If you don't know whether you're voting for Trump or not, you ain't American.
Okay, but which way does that go? The other side would say, that's right, Tony, I'm voting against him. I know I'm an American.
Yeah. Well, I was just playing on the Joe Biden, if you don't know whether you're voting for Biden or not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. You're not black either if you're voting for Trump. That's right.
Yeah, because just going off of what you just said, they're just trying to throw Trump's name in there with anything. If it's wrong, it's Trump's problem. It's Trump's fault. It just makes me sick. But I do have an answer for today's question.
Sure.
And I think it kind of plays into the reason why the question was put up. How about F. Lee Bailey?
Yes, that's a great one. F. Lee Bailey was one of the first big-time figures that went with the initial. Thank you. And he goes back, Dan, F. Lee Bailey. I know he got overshadowed by Johnny Cochran. But if you were on trial for your life at one point, F. Lee Bailey was the guy. The Boston
one of the United States' most well-known criminal defense lawyers, F. Lee Bailey, has died at the age of 87. The former private investigator successfully represented a number of high-profile clients, including O.J. Simpson, in his 1995 murder trial. Bailey was eventually disbarred near the end of his career for the way he handled millions of dollars in stock owned by a drug smuggler. He died at a hospice facility Thursday in the Atlantic.
I didn't know that, Dan. I thought he was still with us. The Boston Strangler was the number one, the first one that we got with. Alan Dershowitz, if you missed him yesterday when he was on, called them idiots, I think, at one point, or unqualified. And they were. I think he said it was DEI. They put Darden in there. They wanted a minority person. It was a female who was completely unqualified. And I never knew this. Alan Dershowitz yesterday said about the O.J. case, they could have tried the glove on first in private under California law, and they didn't want to do it. What kind of morons are going to come up with something? And O.J. walking around holding that hand up with the glove, you know, what a moment. I mean, is it an over? See, Dan, you don't have too much living knowledge or any of it. I think it's an overextension to say the O.J. trial started the way the media is today, the ferocity of it and all kinds of negative things. Maybe it was the most covered thing imaginable. But I think Trump is what took it to a new level more than O.J.
It was the first time a trial was really turned into a reality show with wall-to-wall analysis from 24-hour news networks arguing different parts of it. And
some of the people, Dan Abrams admitted yesterday, Dan, two innocent people died, but that's how I made my career. That's how I became famous. Guess who else made his career that way? Jeffrey Toobin for the Zoom call.
Yeah.
Greta Van Susteren. These are some of the people that got to be national figures. And it was because of their coverage day after day of the O.J. trial. All right, 855-839-1210. You get on board. Some of my favorite sound of the day, Dan, this is Cut 11. I've never had David Hogue or Hogg, however you pronounce it, the kid from the school in Florida where we had all that killing that shouldn't have happened. A shooter should have been stopped a long time before he did that and the day of. He is the premier guy out there that's anti-gun, or one of them. He's very young still. That guy from the high school in Florida. He was confronted at a town hall, though, by a Chinese immigrant, legally, who survived Mao and communist China. Listen to this confrontation.
Hi, my name is Lily Tang Williams. Welcome to my live free or die state. Actually, I am a Chinese immigrant who survived communism. And under Mao, 40 million people were starving to death after he sold communism to them. And 20 million people died, murdered during his Cultural Revolution. So my question to you, David, is that can you guarantee me, a gun owner tonight, our government in the U.S., in D.C., will never, never become a tyrannical government? Can you guarantee that to me?
there's no way I can ever guarantee that any government will not be tyrannical.
Well, then the debate on gun control is over because I will never give up my guns. Never, never. And you should go to China to see how gun control works for dictatorship of CCP.
The fade out is because the guy pulls the microphone away from her.
You know, he was handling it okay, huh? So, you know, the guy pulling the microphone away. But, you know, it's pretty, when you get somebody like that making that point, I would have liked to have heard his response, wouldn't you, Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that may be true, but would he say what Joe Biden says? Hey, man, that's when you know he's really getting rolled. When he says, hey, man, we got jets. So don't tell me if you keep your guns, that's going to matter. That just exacerbates what people are saying. He's actually said that. Of course, he's also said you don't have a right to any gun you want. You couldn't buy a cannon back then. He loves doing that. Do the deer have Kevlar? You know, Kevlar vest. That woman was making a great point, though, and that's a lot of what the Second Amendment's about more than anything else. That's it. All right, coming up, we're going to speak with the mayor of North Wildwood, who I don't think is on the Christmas card list of Phil Murphy. And they're having real difficulty. Are they going to ban these cabanas? I love that word, Dan. As you know, the cabana. I just don't get going to the beach and putting up a giant tent like you're in your porch. You know, even if they don't block me, Dan. You know how I am. I'm prickly about that. I just get kind of like, what the heck? So are they going to do that because of the spacing on the beach? And why is that? Is it Phil Murphy who won't let them put a bulkhead in? Every time they try to do that, there's a war. All right, we'll get to that. 855-839-1210. They've been accused of trying to ban shade by crossingbroad.com. All right, we'll ask the mayor about that. Mulligan's is the capital of the summer White House, but the Giordano's like the summer. I always like that word. In North Wildwood. I mean, you write down the boulevards there.
You can't use summer as a verb.
Oh, yes. Well, I'll ask the mayor.
It seems very hoity-toity to say, I summer in
Wildwood. I'm sure he says it all the time. You see those plants they have when you go down Central Avenue in North Wildwood? Mayor Patrick...
Do you tie a sweater around your shoulders?
No, I don't like the sweater.
Play tennis in the mornings?
I do play tennis in the mornings. Hopefully on clay. I hear they'll have clay court. No, Dan, I don't like taxation a little bit. But I got to say, you see where the money goes in North Wildwood, second to none. You go to their recreation center, they got like 25 pickleball courts. That's an exaggeration. No, they have great stuff there. They have anything that you want. I think they have, though, the double rims and the baskets. I'm going to get that changed.
And don't they have the venue where you saw Real Diamond, too?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is amazing, the acts they bring there, Dan, and how many people turn out. 1,000 or more Thursday nights and I think Monday nights.
Wow.
Mayor Patrick Rosanelli is the guy fighting the good fight there in North Wildwood. Mayor, welcome back to the show, and thank you for joining us.
Hey, Dom. It's good to be on here. Thanks.
Well, some of that is apocryphal, but I really mean it. Your recreation center there, and when you drive down the Central Road, Central Boulevard, coming into North Wildwood, how long has it been like that, the Central Avenue, the foliage, the horticulture, that kind of thing?
The island has been there for, 50 or 60 years.
Okay.
I would say it's in the last 20 or 25 years where it has been, you know, with the flowers and the bushes and all the really nice horticulture. Before, when I was growing up in the early 80s, it was sort of just, you know, half-dead grass, basically.
It pops. I've even told the mayor of Philadelphia, Sherelle Parker, you may get a call someday about that. She wrote that down. Imagine the boulevard coming into Kensington, Dan. That's her vision.
She's been here a few times. I met her in North Wildwood a couple times, actually. At Bob Brady has that event summer in North Wildwood. I met her. The very, very nice, very nice lady.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mary Parker.
So, Mayor, crossingbroad.com is a fun site and all, and they're kidding, saying that the mayor and the city council want to ban shade, you having shade on the beaches this summer, which I think is good for business. It puts it on the map. But is the reason, there could be several, but is one of them how tight the beaches might be this summer?
That's really the only reason.
Okay.
We got to the point where the beach is so narrow, it's going to be so narrow, particularly at high tide, that, you know, the luxury of allowing people to have these 10 by 10 and sometimes bigger tents and shade structures, we just don't have that luxury. So if we want, you know, everybody who wants to use the beach, if we want to give them a spot on the beach, we kind of have to limit some of these structures. It's not something we wanted to do, quite frankly. Really just something we felt that we had no other choice at this point.
So usually you guys are moving heaven and earth, I'm sure, at this time in years past when we've talked, to bring in enough sand and then you reclaim it. Sometimes there's a hill or two. And is it really the nexus of this, the battle over you protecting it in the manner that you see fit versus the Murphy people?
Well, this last year and then this year, we have not been able to bring sand in over the winter. So in the spring of 2022, we brought in 350,000 cubic yards of sand from Wildwood.
Wow.
On trucks. And to give you some idea, that is over 1 billion pounds, 1 billion pounds of sand.
Ugh.
But we can't get around the piers anymore. So there are three amusement piers right there on the North Wildwood border. And because we've had so much erosion, even at low tide, the water is touching those piers. So where we used to drive these, you know, huge off-road trucks down from Wildwood, we can't do that anymore. And so we have experienced, you know, significant erosion in the last 2 years. This past winter, you know, it was really bad. Now, with regard to Governor Murphy's office, just in the last couple of weeks, his office and, quite frankly, him personally have gotten involved in this. We don't have, you know, a solution at this point in time, but it really is the first time in the last 10 years that I've been mayor that his office is as directly involved as they are right now. So I view that as a positive.
Good.
We don't have anything to, you know, show for it right now, but you know, his office, they're the ones who can get something done. And so, you know, he has publicly commented about the need to get something done in North Wildwood. So that's a positive development, and hopefully we'll have some actual positive action soon.
Was there an emergency dredging or something, the Army Corps of Engineers? I think I read that someplace that caused some of this disruption.
No, not. I mean, there is dredging going on in Sea Isle as we speak, and that is a Army Corps NJDEP project. But that's no relation to really what's happening here. I mean, our problem is that we have not had a beach nourishment project since 2013. It's been 11 years, and the typical cycle at the Jersey Shore is every 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, North Wildwood, unfortunately, for really going back 20 plus years, has sort of been fighting this erosion issue. Our beaches, I think, reached their maximum width in the early 90s and sort of have been retreating ever since. And so without regular renourishment, you sort of get into the situation that we're in right now.
You can't call upon the Army Corps to help you out, like Sea Isle. Is that not something you can do?
So the Army Corps and the DEP have beach replenishment projects on every beach in the state of New Jersey except for the Wildwoods. The Wildwoods project, which has been basically bouncing around Trenton for 10 years, is now scheduled to start sometime in 2025. So we will be, you know, in 2025, we will be the beneficiaries of an Army Corps NJDEP project. The obvious problem is that's, you know, 2 summers away, right? You got this coming summer of 24, and most likely that project will not happen in time for the summer of 25. So while the long-term horizon is that Army Corps NJDEP project, we've got more immediate needs, and that's really where the governor has been involved, is some type of an emergency project or an interim project to get us from now to that Army Corps project in 2025.
Well, I hope that happens because, look, you know that we're around the 14th Street area. And I find it, except on Friday when a lot of people come down, that's a tough day. It's a bit crowded. But the other days, it's nice. It's cozy. It's not a long walk to the ocean or anything, but there's enough space. So what will happen, you won't be entirely affected for people coming to North Wildwood. It'll be certain avenues?
Yeah, it's certain avenues. Obviously, the tides play a big role. You know, at high tide is obviously when we have the biggest problem. You know, on the incoming and outgoing tide, there's a lot more sand. Certain blocks are better than other blocks. But we've definitely experienced some significant erosion this past winter. And so people are going to have to sort of scope this out when they come down here, you know, at Memorial Day weekend and see where there's more sand in certain places than there is in others. You know, so it's a pretty significant issue we're dealing with this year, more so than any time in the past.
Well, all I know is I congratulate you, boots on the ground, the Giordano's. I guess it's about 15 summers now. It is a well-run town. It's obvious. It is family-oriented. There's not excessive noise, yet people, you know, interact well with the police. I like the police department, how vigilant they are about theft and any of those natures. We've chronicled some of that, so it's a testament to you and your staff that it's a very, very well-run place. Even last year when we had the power outage, you're invited to Mulligan's now. We'll tell you when. No power outages this year. What you were witnessing, I had both you and Mayor Pete there. We got the two mayors here. Yeah. Well, there's nothing going on out there. There's nothing they can do, but Mulligan's was still working.
Yeah, that was an experience. And then that whole weekend, wow, you know, to have an entire weekend of power outage in the Wildwoods in the middle of July was not something I want to experience anytime soon.
So, Mayor, good luck with this. Let's hope that you and the governor then can get this working and we'll salvage the summer.
Thanks, Tom. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor Patrick Rosanelli. Right. Dan, I think he was a passenger. He actually got on me driving the tram car. Mayor Pete was smart. He just directed in front of me. That mayor got on. That was a bold. You know, there were paying customers that wanted to get on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you don't want to get on with the Dom Giordano.
And they actually said, "Wouldn't you like to take it up the run of the whole boardwalk?" They were impressed.
They were trying to get you to go more.
Yeah, the turn. I thought the turn was easy. That turn and Cressy at the end of the boardwalk. All right, our guy Scott Cronick is back with us. What's good entertainment wise? TV, film, and Atlantic City. We'll give you all of that. Scott Cronick, all things entertainment with us on the Dom Giordano Show. Scott, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, buddy. We missed you. How you doing, man?
Well, great. Look, I never got into Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm not a Larry David fan. Did David play Steinbrenner? Was that Larry David playing?
He did.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Now, for that, I got to give him a lot of – that was an all-time – he got the essence of Steinbrenner, second to none with it. I'm partial to Alan Dershowitz, Scott, who we had on, and he and Larry David have had a raging battle on Martha's Vineyard. But the final season –
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's political, you know. It's Trump-related. So the finale – this past week of the entire series, was it 12 years? Is that right? Wow.
Season 12. It was over a bunch of years because he didn't do one every year. But, yeah, man. So it finished. It actually started as a one-hour special, and then HBO said, okay, we're going to make a show out of this. And that was 1999. So what's that, 25 years ago, right? So crazy. And it wrapped up. And what's great about Curb and what's always been great about Curb is that it ended up in the courtroom just like the Seinfeld finale they did. And they basically, like, made fun of how bad the Seinfeld finale was and try to make amends for how bad the Seinfeld finale was and really knock it out of the park. A great finale. One, I would say, one of the better finales of a long-running series. He really did a great job.
Wow. I see. I thought the Seinfeld thing was beautifully done, given what do you do to pull all that together. It got at their basic indifference, brought back all the characters and all.
Yeah, Yeah, well, you know what? And I liked it better than a lot of people did. A lot of people didn't like it. But he did the exact same thing in this. He brought back a lot of episodes and characters. It was almost like you're looking back at 25 years. And but at the whole time, you know, Jerry Seinfeld makes an appearance. And, you know, he ends up in jail. And then I don't want to give it away. But the bottom line is they completely acknowledge, the Seinfeld criticism, and it's great. It really, really well done. And as Larry Day would say, it was pretty, pretty good.
Dom has been a proponent of, when we talk about a potential, Seinfeld remake, that Seinfeld is perfect how it is. You know, you leave it kind of in the era. You don't bring something like that back with the potential to ruin it. Larry David's next project, I don't know, is that something being considered? And is that something Scott Cronick would endorse, a Seinfeld reboot?
No, let it go. I mean, yeah, listen, even Seinfeld doesn't want to be Seinfeld anymore. And, I don't think Larry David wants to do a whole lot. I think that's why he's ending this. Like, yeah, this is his thing. He would just keep doing these because he can do whatever he wants. HBO writes a blank check. I think he would just keep doing this. Like, I think Larry David is, I don't think you're going to see a whole lot from Larry David. He doesn't need the money, obviously. I think he's richer than Seinfeld is, for God's sake. So I think it's more about, unless something really strikes him creatively, he's worth $800 million, by the way.
Wow.
He's going to be quiet for a while.
Yeah. Shogun seems to be so prominent. I even see local news like Channel 6. They put it inside segments of the news, etc. And I have to admit, Scott, I know little or nothing about Shogun, available on Hulu, but apparently it's pretty big.
Yeah, it's an FX series. It's the most watched series in FX history, and they've had some pretty great stuff on FX. And excuse me, I got the hiccups a little bit. Listen, Don, you really should get acclimated with it. It's 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's not just one of the best shows on TV right now. I think it's, one of the best limited series of all time. It's that good, dude. It's so meticulous, and it's the largest Japanese cast that's ever been assembled in the United States, and the sets and the costumes and just the attention to detail and like ritual and things that were like done in the 1600s in that era. But along with the story, is just so well done. The acting is over the top. The war scenes are incredible. The drama, all that stuff, and excuse me if I'm hiccuping, I'm so sorry. But, dude, I got to tell you, I am just – it's 8 episodes in, and the sadness is that it's going to end after 10. That's the only thing I keep thinking of is, like, this thing's going to be over, and there probably won't be another season. It's going to be a real sadness when it goes away.
Dan has recommended Resident Alien and uses cite that. A Dan recommendation. If we get two with you, Scott Cronick, we have to stop everything. You and Dan recommending. We got to go and see it right now. That's it. Like Steinbrenner, stop it right now.
Resident Alien is this mini series that started, I think, on the Sci-Fi Channel. Now it's in its third season, and it's gotten amazing reviews. And Dom, I liked it for the first couple episodes, and then it got old on me real fast.
Like, there you go.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like a one-trick pony, and it has some great humor and. The guy who plays the main alien is hilarious, and there's a lot of great moments, but I feel like it's one of those sitcoms that it's the same joke over and over and over, and I gave up after about 6 or 8 episodes. I said, I think I get it, and I'm out.
I got to say, Scott, and I've been very strong in recommending Resident Alien prior to season 3. Well, I was so psyched for season 3 to come out because I thought the first 2 seasons were really well done. But then in season 3, I've really noticed exactly what you're saying here. It's redundant. I think they've lost their way. I don't know if they have a story to tell much anymore, and it's kind of – it's fallen – like I don't know if we can finish season 3. It's just not good compared to the other two. So I'm honestly surprised they only got through 6 to 8 episodes, Scott. But you're someone I trust very, very well when it comes to movie critiques and television critiques. So thank you for that.
And I think every episode is good in its own way. But it just seems like the same thing. And I found myself laughing less because, yeah, it's a different play on the same joke over and over. And I just was like, okay, I get it. I'm done.
Hey, Scott, yeah. AC now. We should be seeing nicer weather, warmer weather and all that. So what's cooking over at AC with Scott Cronick?
Well, this weekend is the big Atlantic City Beer Festival, and of course, we're tied to that with the Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall, which I am one of the owners of. We, of course, will have pre-parties, after-parties, in-the-middle parties, you name it, Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall is the place to go. But go support the Atlantic City Beer and Music Festival. Great bands. They have, like, I think over 100 breweries, over 300 or 400 beers will be poured. Great big-time headliner bands in that Hot Mulligan, Saves the Day, Goldfinger. It's tonight, and then it's two sessions tomorrow. So, and then, of course, come and eat and drink after and before at Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall. But it's one of the biggest beer festivals in the country. And we have it right in our backyard tonight and tomorrow in the convention center of Atlantic City.
Did you say Goldfinger was going to be there, the band Goldfinger?
Yeah, they're there tomorrow night.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm going to have to make it down there for that. All right,
Scott, thank you. We'll talk again in 2 weeks. Have a great festival this weekend.
Dom, thank you so much. Dan, thank you. We'll talk to you ever soon. Bye, everybody.
All right, Scott Cronick, our entertainment guy with us. Coming up, Scott Presler, going to be the target of Politico and the New York Times. He thinks he's going to own a lot more hot tubs or something in his new house due to this. That's what he put on Twitter.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.